Good afternoon. Oh. Welcome everyone to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. Now we're working. Welcome to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're here for this special worship service. I'm going to give a special welcome to our visitors, to family and friends and guests from other churches that have joined us. We're glad that you're here with us today. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are his people, the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Our God greets us this afternoon, saying, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. As we gather together to celebrate the beginning of a new period of ministry here at Calvin CRC, we want to remember, too, that God has gifted all of us and calls all of us to serve as his people. Let's join together in the litany. It's printed in your bulletins, and I think it's also going to appear on the screen, so you can follow along wherever you think is easiest for you. People of God, Christ alone is the source of all Christian ministry. Through the ages, Christ calls men and women to serve. By the Holy Spirit, all who believe and are baptized receive a ministry to witness to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and to love and serve those with whom they live and work. We are ambassadors for Christ, who reconciles and makes whole. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Following Christ's resurrection and ascension, God has given the church apostles, prophets, and teachers, deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance and leadership. Lord, stir up each of us to a life of faithful and joyful service, so that your church is built up and you are glorified. Let's rise in body or in spirit and join together in singing. First we'll sing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Thank you.
And remain standing, and we'll sing together, "Will You Come and Follow Me?"
Wonderful to sing those songs together, praising God, celebrating. And, you know, today is it's a time of celebration. Anytime that you have a pastor come into a church, I mean, there is a lot that had to go into this, right? And I'm talking just effort, both from the church, from the calling committee, and also from Brian and his family, too, going, what does God want in all of this? And in the end, here we come to a day like this, the installation. God has brought all this stuff together, and what else can we do but say, praise the Lord, and use us, Lord, how you want to use us. That's exactly what we're doing here today in this service. It is good to be together to praise our God and also to bless Pastor Brian as he begins in his ministry here and to bless the church as we minister together. Now, I'm Pastor Nate. I don't know if you all remember me or not. I'm the church counselor. I preached here a couple of times. No, maybe just once. Visit with, yeah, I know, but then you guys all came up to our church once too. You know, it's been a good stretch over here, but I'm delighted to be able to come and share God's word with you today and also lead in the installation service for Pastor Brian. Now, I would like you to turn in God's word to Philippians 1, verses 12 through 18, and when I think of praising God and rejoicing, I think right away of the book of Philippians. It shows up, that word, rejoice, 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 all through this book. It is a book of rejoicing. But it's not just rejoicing because of how good things are, because of how easy things are. It's rejoicing even through the toughest times, but no matter whether it's good or bad, rejoice. We hear that in this passage as well. So let's read together God's word, and as we do that, I will begin with a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on our reading of his word. Let's pray. God, you have been good to us. Today in the church here, we know that you have done a marvelous thing of pairing together church and pastor. But Lord, the most wonderful gift that we have is Jesus Christ and the word that we have in front of us that teaches us of your grace and of the movement of the gospel. So Lord, open our ears, open our hearts to hear that word and receive it this afternoon. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 1, 12 through 18, you can follow along with me in your Bibles as well. This is what God's word says. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of the Lord more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. There you go. You hear it. Rejoice. Celebrate. And today is a day of celebration here at the church. We celebrate because God has heard the prayers of a church community, and perhaps none more so than whoever was doing pulpit supply for the last several months, right? A big task. But no, for the whole church, the prayers have been going up. Send us someone who can faithfully lead and guide this congregation. The search committee looks, the council decides, the congregation says, yes, this is who we believe God is calling to us. And it's a celebration in this time because in the midst of all of that, God was also working in Pastor Brian. And as he received the call from the congregation, he felt the stirring in his heart and in his soul. And as he talked with his family and decided together, they come here to this place. God has united you and a pastor, all of you together, beginning something new in this call. So yeah, it's a celebration. But it's not the end of something, right? Even though the search committee will now be given a farewell, right? You've done your job, off you go. We're so thankful for that, and they're finished. But we know that this is not the end of something, but the beginning of something. Right now, a pastor has come into this church here. Pastor Brian stands in front of the church and delivers the gospel of Jesus Christ week in and week out as a faithful servant to this church. This is the advancement of the gospel. And as the congregation hears that, you too are encouraged by it and able to share the gospel. Really, that's what I hear in this passage. It's a reminder that no matter what trials have come, no matter what things we may face in the future, there's something we can know for sure, and that is the gospel about Jesus Christ will prevail. It will go out. And I want to encourage the church here, and I want to encourage Pastor Brian, the only thing that we really need to do as God's people is we need to ride the wave. You know what I mean by that, right? The wave comes in and it's going to do its thing. It's up to us whether we try and stand in the way and hold back the power of the gospel, or if we just hop on board and say, Lord, use us wherever you want us to go. Bring us along the way. Help us to be your servant. Pastor Brian, as we install you today, this is something where you are saying, I'm on board. And I do want to encourage you in this too, that no matter how much effort you feel like it takes to be a faithful servant of the Lord today in this church, just ride the wave. It is not your effort that saves anyone, but it is the good news of the gospel that transforms. And as a church too, we remember that. It is not the work of the pastor that makes a church strong. It is riding the wave of the Holy Spirit moving among the people and the focus on the good news of Jesus Christ here. It is not the work of the pastor that accomplishes that. It is the Holy Spirit and the gospel among the people. And praise God for that, because no one wants to trust in any pastor as their Savior. No, boy, that would be a mistake, right? We have our Savior who does that. Simply, when we come together here on a Sunday morning, when Pastor Brian comes up here and delivers God's word faithfully, it's up to a congregation to encourage, to support, to hear the good news, and also be the messengers of that powerful message. Let's ride the wave. This is not the end of something. Sure, dismiss the search committee, but now it's time to enhance the education committee, the evangelism committee, and scrap the committees. It's just time for the people of God to be the people of God. Let's go with the gospel into the world. And this is a passage that reminds us that no matter what the challenges are, Jesus Christ is faithful, and the gospel will prevail. If you look there, Paul starts off this section. He says, I want you to know. He draws our attention. He's like, I've got something really important to tell you here. You see, he's been struggling with this gospel, not because he finds it hard to preach, but because it gets him in some terrible situations. And at the moment when he's writing this, he's in prison. The boldness of the gospel of the Apostle Paul has put him in chains. And yet he has this vision where he says, the gospel is not dead. The gospel is not held back. It is on a roll. Jesus Christ and the good news of his blood is not tied to Paul. It is tied to the power of God. And that's what I want you to hear this morning as well. The gospel is not tied to the flair or the personality of a pastor or any of the members of a church. You hear me? The strength of the gospel is not tied to anyone in particular. It's not tied to how trendy or hip the worship at a church can be. It is simply tied to God's wonderful plan. It is tied to him moving the church to be the church. So what do we see in the passage? Paul says, I'm in prison. He says, but don't worry about that, because in prison I found these prison guards to preach to, and the gospel spread to them. And then Paul says again, he says, but don't worry about me and being in prison. Second thing that he says is the gospel's going out more. He says, there's people that wouldn't preach before. Now that I'm in prison, they're bold. They're ready to go out. That's two steps of good news, being that Paul's in prison. And the third thing that he says is, he says, I know there's some that are not preaching with good motives. Some people had been going around and even slandering Paul in some ways. They'd been preaching more about their own personality and hyping themselves. But Paul looks at their message and says, but they're talking about Jesus and his blood. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. What's the words that he used there? He says in verse 18, at the beginning of that verse, but what does it matter? I love those words. Oh, if we could lock those words into our head even more often. Oh, pastor, don't you know what's going on? You know what they're saying about us? You know what? If we could just simply go, but what's it matter? The good news of Jesus Christ is moving forward and we're his people. Let's go after it. What's it matter? Because if Christ is preached, then all is well. So that's what I wanted to share with you from this passage here. The gospel is on the move. Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit is going to be preached, and what a celebration it is today. You belong to a church that has not ended something, but has started something again. I look forward to seeing where this goes. Can't wait to see how the good news of the gospel is spread right here from Calvin. What a beautiful thing. This is God's word that I encourage you with today, and all God's people together say, amen. Would you bow in prayer with me? God, I pray that today truly can be this for the church here and churches all around the community, all around our classes. all around the country and the world too. May it be that we are at the beginning of something where the good news of the gospel is boldly proclaimed, not in a watered-down form, but in the very basic truth that captures hearts and captivates people to a place where they say, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, may that be through us here and use us as your servants. We lift up this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And in a moment, we're going to go through the actual installation of Pastor Brian. And before we do that, and in preparation for that, we're going to sing the song, Here I Am, Lord. So would you please stand as we sing that song? Now we'll go through our actual installation service here. I'm going to follow one of the forms that we have in our Grace Altar hymnal from a while ago, but I don't think we have those in the pews, so I'm going to read it, and we're going to do it the good old-fashioned way, where you just got to listen and pay attention and really gain. There is a lot of good teaching that comes in all of this, so be sharp on this. It's good stuff. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we rejoice in Christ's special care and love for his church because we have the privilege of installing Pastor Brian to the ministry of the word in this church. Because Pastor Brian has accepted the call of the church here, we shall now proceed with the installation. From its beginning, the entire New Testament church was called to proclaim the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ to the whole world. This is what it says in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It soon became apparent that the task committed to the church was vast and complex. Therefore, the church, under the guidance of the apostles, instituted distinct ministries to ensure that the work would be done well. Those engaged in these ministries were to function with Christ's power and authority, a power and authority rooted in obedience to His word and expressed in their loving service. These ministries are therefore to be distinguished from the more general ones given by Christ to all believers. The office of the minister of the word is one of these distinct ministries. The scriptures portrays the minister's duties in various ways. A minister is both a servant of Christ and of the church, a steward in the household of God, a teacher to explain the mystery of the gospel, a shepherd who cares for the flock, and an ambassador and a herald of our King proclaiming the message of reconciliation. I'll note there that it doesn't say anything about the tech guy or the one who's got to fix your live stream or anything like that, although we find these extra things for pastors to do all the time. That's not in the form. That's just me ad-libbing here a little bit. But you watch that. Pay attention to what you expect the pastor to be doing and focus it on God's word. The preaching of the word is one of the minister's chief tasks. Such proclamation must faithfully reflect the word of God and relate it to the needs of the listeners. Paul stressed this demand when he wrote this in 2 Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. And because the sacraments are closely related to the preaching of the word, the minister has the privilege of administering holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. Since the minister has the responsibility to preach the word and to administer the sacraments in public worship, it is the minister's duty to conduct the worship service in such a manner that God receives glory and the congregation is edified. When Jesus said to Peter in John 21, "Feed my lambs," he entrusted the office bearers of the church with special care for the young. The minister must instruct baptized members of the congregation in the way of salvation and encourage and assist those who teach alongside. As a pastor, the minister visits the members of the congregation, calling on the sick and the suffering, comforting those who mourn, encouraging the weak, admonishing those who stray, and counseling those in need of guidance, holding in trust those matters confided in counsel or confession. The minister rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep, as we hear from Romans. Yet the minister is called not only to serve those who are already members of the church, but also to engage and promote the work of evangelism. As a true disciple of the Master, the minister should show that the church exists also for the world that the missionary task of the church forms an essential part of its calling. As a servant of Christ, the minister must help and encourage the people of God as they care for the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. In all of this work, the minister proclaims, explains, and applies Holy Scripture in order to gather in and build up the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. For this work, the minister must be devoted to the ministry of prayer, joining all Christians in confession intercession, thanksgiving, and praise. Now I'd like to invite Pastor Brian up here to the front. We're going to ask him questions, and we will duly install him and also bless him in the ministry here at the church. If you'd like to just stand over here. So, Pastor Brian, in order that all God's people assembled here may witness that you, in the strength of the Lord, accept the responsibilities of this office, you are requested to answer these following questions. Do you believe that in the call of this congregation, God calls you to holy ministry? Do you believe that the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and life? Do you subscribe to the doctrinal standards of this church, rejecting all teaching that contradicts them? Do you promise to be a faithful minister, to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of your calling, and to submit to the government and discipline of the church? If you believe all these things, you can respond with, "I do, God helping me." What is your answer?
I do, God helping me.
Then I would like to invite all the council members, all the office bearers, and pastors of the area churches. If you are an ordained person, I would like you to come up here, and we're going to place our hands on Pastor Brian for the blessing right now. Gather tight around, find a spot. If you can't reach Brian, put a hand on someone close by here. And for each one of us too, this is a time when we pray a special blessing on him and his ministry in the church. So we pray this blessing on Pastor Brian. God, our Heavenly Father, who has called you to this great and glorious office, enlighten, strengthen, and govern you by the Word and Spirit so that you may serve faithfully and fruitfully in your ministry to the glory of God's name and the coming of the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll invite, while you're standing up here, we'll just have the congregation stand along with us as well. And we all also have our vows to make at this time. So I'm going to ask the congregation. Dear congregation of Christ, we ask that you respond to these questions. We do, God helping us. These are the questions for us. Do you, in the name of the Lord, welcome Pastor Brian as your minister and pastor? Do you promise to take to heart the Word of God as he proclaims it? Do you promise to pray for him, to share with him in the work of ministry? Do you promise to encourage him in the exercise of his tasks and to respond to his work with obedience, love, and respect? Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is your answer? Then I'll invite you to have a seat. Pastor Brian, you can stay up here with me yet. And the congregation can all sit down. So I'll say congratulations. And yeah, it's a wonderful time. So yeah, may the Lord bless you in your ministry here. There's all kinds of official words that I'm going to say here too, because it's in the form. But I just want to personally, on behalf of, as a council of the church here, congratulate you in this role, and also the church here as well. Now, this is what it tells me I have to congratulate you saying, okay? Dear friend and fellow servant of Christ, we rejoice with you on this day. After much preparation, you have been installed to the ministry of the Word. May you experience much joy in this calling as you exercise the authority of the office as it's entrusted you, as it's to the office entrusted to you, and may you always remain here a humble servant. Look faithfully after the whole flock, the old, the young, the faithful and the unfaithful, the healthy and the sick, the strong and the weak. Rejoice with those who rejoice and suffer with those who suffer. Brian, use all your talents to the utmost of your ability. And do not neglect any of your gifts. And one day, our chief shepherd will give you the crown of glory, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And to you, dear fellow Christians, congratulations also. This is truly the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. People of God, keep the vows that you've made. Receive your minister as a gift of God. Listen to Pastor Brian with all respect due the office that he's in, and encourage him when he needs strength. And truly, pray daily for your pastor. Matthew 10 says, "Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." May you, as pastor and as congregation, live as the bride. You see, this isn't the end of things here. This is just a beginning. And we're looking forward to that great day and the return of our Savior Jesus Christ, because on that day, finally, it will be accomplished. So now we give thanks and we ask the Lord's help to follow through with what we've promised. Why don't we ask for God's help in the time of prayer? Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, on this day for your many blessings. Thank you for the church that's elect from every nation, yet one or all the earth. Thank you for giving your church the task of calling others to your saving grace in Jesus Christ and to the fellowship of the covenant community. Today, we thank you in particular for giving the church the special office of the minister of the word. And we rejoice that here as a congregation, we receive a new pastor to this work among us. We pray that you will bless Pastor Brian, that as a servant, he can truly be a servant of Christ in this church. Help him to be an inspired ambassador for Lord Jesus the King, bringing the message of salvation and reconciliation to everyone. Bless him as a preacher, as a teacher, as a pastor, as a counselor. And may he prove to be a faithful steward in the household of God. And I pray you enable us as a congregation to listen gladly and attentively to him, recognizing in his words the voice of the good shepherd himself. Strengthen us all in the work and the ministry so that we may be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Help us, congregation and pastor, to endure the heat of the day and the darkness of the night, sustained by your healing and guiding presence. All this we ask with thankful and rejoicing hearts in the name of your dear Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Once again, congratulations, and I'm going to step off to the side here, and now as an officially ordained and installed pastor of the word here, give your blessing to us as a congregation. So congratulations again.
All right. Before we close here, just a couple of housekeeping announcements. First, as you may have seen on the back of the bulletin, we're going to have some cake and ice cream after the service, so stick around and enjoy some time of fellowship. Just cake. Never mind. No ice cream. Forget that. Just cake. That's my fault. it's all right. We'll be okay. We'll survive, I think. Also, just on behalf of the congregation, we'd like to say thank you to Pastor Nate and the other pastors of Classis and others, too, who filled in as pulpit supply during this past year. I really appreciate your ministry here. Now, people of God, please rise in body or in spirit and receive God's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.